The next agenda item is, the Personnel Committee report and any motions. Yes, Personnel Committee report and motions. Sandra?
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. This is pretty short because we are in the process. But in your board book, there is the official report that was submitted to Christine at the national office. And in order to save paper, I did not include the approved job descriptions of the ED, CFO, and HR director, but I did forward them to the entire board, as I also forwarded the approved job postings.
No, she's not going to. I don't have it.
And in the board reporter, also the notes or minutes from our meeting. Right now, to date, these jobs have been posted in numerous locations, both paid and free, with the help of David Beaton, Ursula Rudenberg, and Nan Rubin. They've gone out to numerous websites, grassroots radio, community radio. They are on the CPB website, which posted for free. I paid for the postings of all three positions in the current newspaper, and they will also be posted on their website for 90 days. And then various free websites, which I have not been able to confirm that they are being posted there, and also on Opportunity Knox. These postings will remain up until May the 20th. At present time, we have received seven resumes for ED, three for CFO, and four for HR director. Some of them seem to be very qualified. As of May the 20th, the Personnel Committee will be actively reviewing these. I hope that from now until then we can go ahead and verify references and both personal and professional for the ones that we do have in our possession. The timeline or the goal to put forth candidates would be by mid-June, so that this board can select a qualified ED, CFO, and HR director by July the 1st of this year. Can't think of anything else. I would say, does anybody have any questions? Yes?
Thanks for the work that you're doing on this. I just wondered if we could rectify this. I have not seen either the CFO job nor the ED job on Craigslist, nor have I seen it on Opportunity Knox.
Okay. We, as the Personnel Committee, voted to not include it on Craigslist because there are so many issues with Craigslist. That was in the report that was given in the minutes of the Personnel Committee. And the posting with opportunities that because of the current climate, there are, number one, there's
for jobs.
There are people looking for jobs. That's correct. But previous experience, not mine personally, but I have been told by other people that have been posting jobs for general manager in Los Angeles, that when they posted on Craigslist, they were inundated with unqualified applicants. It was suggested that we not post to Craigslist. If this body feels that that's a vital posting, I'm happy to follow whatever the body directs. But that was a decision made by the Personnel Committee. It was included in our minutes sent to the PNB. And if you wish to instruct us to do something different, I'm happy to do so.
I think, make the suggestion that we reconsider. Because I think that it is a really substantially wide-read and widely used job service. Now, according to your list, did we actually put it on Opportunity Knox? I hadn't
as
found
of
it.
Yesterday,
at,
I received
oh, yesterday.
Two. Okay, cool. As of yesterday, I have received two resumes from the Opportunity Knox posting.
Cool. I just couldn't find it when I looked up there a couple of times last week.
Okay.
Yes. So are there still further places to post, or do you feel that you have gotten it where it's going to be? Because isn't there less than a month until the deadline that you've imposed upon it?
The deadline is May the 20th. And it's a matter of money issues. I took this on personally to make these postings on places that required payment. And there's a couple more that I would like to post on. I just have not applied the funds to that because they are coming out of my personal pocket.
I would like to recommend. Oh, is it on idealist.org?
Idealist is another one. I just forwarded to everybody the list that was sent to me. I've also been talking with Gary Demps from the Nonprofit Personnel Network. They helped the foundation secure the employment of Greg Guma several years ago. His list is rather extensive. It was forwarded to me. I went over it with him. There are several that are free listings there, but again, the list is 4 years old, and I have not gotten confirmation from the emails that I sent as to whether or not they have, if they're going to post it or not. I tried to be selective with the ones where I paid to get the most bang for my buck, so to speak, or for our buck.
I would like to make a recommendation that we not be penny wise and pound foolish. In this instance, I can't think of anything more important, actually, than doing a correct and successful search for a good CFO and a good ED. So I would like to recommend that we free up. I certainly appreciate you putting money out. I don't feel that you should be doing that at all from your own pocket.
Me either.
And I really think the foundation should be not only covering anything that you've put out already, but that we spend the very small amount of money that we're talking about in order to get this properly posted. Anybody want to?
Second.
Thanks.
Let me first thank Sandra for doing that, for putting out her own money for that.
Madam Chair?
Yeah, I'd like to turn over the chair for this section to Sandra. I had George chair when he was doing the governance committee report. Is that okay with you, Sandra?
Well, actually, I really don't have that much more to add. I would like to state publicly for the record that the reason that I volunteered to pay for these postings out of my own pocket was to expedite getting them posted. There did not seem to be money forthcoming and other issues that were pressing. It felt to me that it was expedient if I could go ahead and pull the money out. Unfortunately, when I went to make these postings, the cost was a little bit more than I had anticipated. So I do take responsibility for causing a delay in that regard, but I'm happy to take donations rather than go through the process of an RFP and getting money, you know, and taking another 2 or 3 weeks to get it approved. If somebody wants to pass the hat and come up with a few hundred dollars to post on these other sites, I'm happy to do that also.
Okay, LaVarne, is there money in the budget for this, for job postings? It must be someplace.
I can't hear it.
Okay.
My motion then is that we reimburse you for anything that anything that Sandra has spent thus far, and that we also let's come up with a place that we're going to stop here. But what do you think is reasonable in order to get the other things posted that cost money?
Probably another $600.
And
but I'm not asking to be reimbursed. If that comes back around later, I don't want to waste any more time on this. If it comes back around later that we have the funds to reimburse me, that's fine. I'm not asking to be reimbursed at this time. If we can move forward with you know, getting some more funds to get these other postings put out, that's great. I don't consider that an issue. I'm doing that because I want to help.
So, just as a side here, the HR position, we've done a thorough search and we have chosen a candidate. If he accepts, which we'll know in an hour or two, that search will be completed.
Do I understand correctly that that's going to be the permanent HR director?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Interim HR director. So.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have wasted the money to post for this other position.
Right. That's right. You're correct.
Might I add, this is LaVarne Williams, that, yeah, for the budget for the first half of the year, we actually are underspent on that by over $2,000. So you and I can just talk and get the receipts, and then we'll take care of that.
Okay, thank you, LaVarne.
I think Susan was on the stack next. If you wanted to speak.
Yeah, just very quickly, yes, I agree. I think that the broader posting is really important. Because this is, I mean, in the past, I was thinking that for ED, perhaps because it's more likely to require radio experience, that maybe narrower was important. But we have actually engaged a search firm in the past. We are not doing that this time. I think that it is wise for us to really work to get the best possible candidates from whom to consider.
Okay, Rico's next, and then Jim.
First of all, I worked with Sandra on the personnel committee, and I'd like to acknowledge her great work and her calm, cool head, and due diligence in getting work done on that committee. I also would like to support what Bonnie brought up about the penny pound foolish statement. Very appropriate.
Penny wise, pound foolish.
Yes, what she said. But lastly, the Craigslist thing was something that I implemented or suggested because, and Leslie, help me out with this, Leslie. When we were working on finding a GM for KPFK, we did Craigslist, and in this climate, we had a heck of a lot of people that had nothing to do with radio, but they were looking for work. And it really made our job very difficult because there are so many applicants. And I think that we decided at that point that Craigslist might not be the best choice because of that inundation of applicants that weren't applicable for what we were asking for. Is that what you recall, Leslie?
Rico, I'm going to both agree and disagree with you since I don't know the source of the applications we received. I think there was a working assumption that they were coming from Craigslist, but I can't verify that. I will say that we got a lot of unqualified applicants in that
search. For hotels and restaurant business, and they were applying for this job. So that was the reason why, even though I wanted to throw out the largest net possible because I think these positions are so important, but at the same time, there is a lot of work to be done, and it's easy for us to say, let's throw out this big net, and then nobody does the work, and the work gets done very, very poorly. So I thought, let's throw out a big net to the right people only.
Okay, Jim?
Yeah, is there any reason why there's no specific link on WPFW and BAI?
The postings were sent out to all of the general managers. Mm-hmm. KPFT has the posting actually on its website. WPFW and WBAI have the Pacifica.org link on their website, but there's no specific, you know, jobs at Pacifica, unlike at KPFK and KPFA. They have a jobs link that takes them directly to the Pacifica.org where there is the complete approved job description and the complete posting.
Okay.
And I just want to also add, and I don't know if I said this already, but I did forward to everybody the email that correspondence with Gary Debs from the Nonprofit Personnel Network. Normally, they charge a very large amount of money to assist with this type of job search. He's offered us a cut rate deal, basically, to he's outlined in the email what he will do for a flat $12,000 fee per job, which is, you know, still $36,000 that we really can't afford. But he's also agreed to just, you know, do some hand holding and be there as a sounding board. So I intend to utilize his services for that. But I want everybody to be aware that he did offer to do professional services for us. And if you want to proceed with that, you're welcome to make that suggestion also. But for right now, I think it prudent that we see what happens between now and the 20th, continue to post it as widely possible. But, again, selective places, we want to post where we're going to get people that are qualified.
Sandra, can I add one other thing before we leave? I have some serious concern about our committee, as well as we work together, because when Leslie and I were working on the committee for the GM, we had probably about four times as many people looking for one job. And now we're looking for jobs that are really important to this foundation. And we have a quarter of the amount of people, but we're looking for twice, three times the amount of jobs. So I am really concerned that when if we do our due diligence and throw that large net that we've just funded, that when those applications come in, I don't know how expediently we are going to be able to process this, or if we're going to be processing it efficiently enough to really get the best candidate at the end of the day. That's my concern for the record.
Okay. Bonnie?
If indeed we're going to have a HR director in a matter of hours, I think we can certainly, and I think it would be wise actually, for us to turn at least some of the procedure of job hires over to an HR director so that it can be done in a proper fashion. I agree and I appreciate the work that the committee has attempted to do, but it has always made me really nervous that we have three of the largest jobs in the network being handled by five volunteer people from the various LSBs, from the PMB, when everybody's got all the work that they have on top of being board members as volunteer board members. So I would certainly hope that we would be able to do that. I am still hopeful that we will consider putting this at least on Craigslist. I think you said Opportunity Knocks and Idealist are covered. And Currents, does the Currents continue to run for a while? Because I think that's a really important one for broadcast jobs.
Current and CPB.
Excellent. So I would hope that we could consider not only reimbursing Sandra, but putting in what amounts to a nominal amount of money to at least get those other postings done.
Okay. I believe that's all, right? Okay, and we're going to go on now to other committee reports and motions. Are there any other committee reports?
Are we going to vote on my motion?
Was that a motion?
It was a motion that was seconded to reimburse Sandra and to put the money up and list the job a little wider than we have so far.
Okay. Is there any objection to that motion? All right. It is so moved. Yes.
Seem to be a lot of us on one mic here. Where has the National Finance Committee report gone on the agenda?
Right before the strategic planning discussion.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. If there are no other committee reports until the National Finance Committee report, which is a couple of steps away, we will go on to the archives report. Brian, are you here? Okay, very good.
Madam Chair, I have to step out to make a phone call. I'll be back in a few minutes. I just wanted to apologize for skating out of here for 5 minutes. I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, before Brian starts, Madam Chair,
yes.
Mr. Chair, before Brian starts, I do have 10 seconds about the racism and sexism committee.
Okay.
This committee is. It seems evident that this committee is a necessary committee, just in lieu of some of the statements that have been said today. I've been trying to convene this meeting. We finally did convene it with the help of the last chair of the meeting. I think on the day before the meeting, she had a personal matter that she had to attend to and asked that it be moved to another date. Some people supported that. I didn't, because I just really thought that we needed to stop postponing it. So I didn't know whether people would show up or not. So I did show up on the call that day, and I was the only person in the meeting. So I'm assuming we are. It was very lonely, and I'm assuming that we will try and actually reconvene it and bring you a report next time.
Okay, thank you, Brian. We're ready for you. Okay,
just a quick comment on the agenda. Let me remind us that the strategic planning starts at 4 o'clock, assuming that the person is here. If we have, we had had Brian on the agenda for I forget how many minutes, but
20 minutes.
Okay, great. If we're putting national finance in, we want to keep that in mind.
Yes. Okay, go ahead, Brian.
Hello. There we go. I'm just scooting around so everybody can see me there. All right. Hi, everybody. I'm Brian DeShazer, director of the Pacifica Radio Archives. Hello, everybody. Thanks. These are new glasses, and I don't know how to work with them yet, so it'll be on and off. Forgive me. All right, so the Pacifica Radio Archives, you know, I do realize the foundation is in a mess. We in the archives do realize this. And it is affecting the archives. It's affecting the staff. It's affecting the quality of our work, and it's affecting the quantity of our work. 50,000 recordings. We haven't done that many. But what we have done has been extraordinary, significantly, historically significant, making changes. 783 schools in the campus campaign. We talked about that at the last report. Wait a minute. In the past couple months, we've been receiving letters back from librarians at the schools that have been donated and sponsored by listeners of the campus campaign from the Vault series. And there's enough for one of each of you to read. And what we're getting responses from the librarians, the people that are our heroes, our holders of freedom of information, they're committed to using these materials, giving them to the faculty, presenting them to the faculty and students. So I'm really proud that the letters are coming back. It actually is working. We have contacts, human beings, at schools across the country that we could actually interact with and expand this campaign, and not only to just offer them the materials, but to teach with them and to get impact, to get responses back from the students and faculty. So as you read these letters, I'd like to hear some response from you via email or even at this meeting if something inspires you.
Did you get one from Wasilla?
Yes, there is one from Wasilla. So if those of you who don't know, during the broadcast we pitched that the feminist recording should be in the library of Wasilla High School where Sarah Palin got her education. Somebody did sponsor that school. We sent the feminist recordings to them. And somebody will have the letter there from the librarian at Wasilla High School thanking us for the donation. Yeah, that's fun. Actually, it's what's more fun than it. It's marketing. That's money in the bank. That is the project that should be managed. We should have a project manager on the campus campaign. I can't do it. We don't have the staff to do it. There's only 5 of us. I want to read really quickly. The Pacifica Archives mission is to support the goals of the Pacifica Foundation. In doing so, the Archives appraises, collects, organizes, describes, preserves, and makes available for research and reference the past, present, future creative work generated by or produced in association with Pacifica Radio. In addition to the mission, we have core duties of service to the stations, creating premium programs, original program productions, and reference services to librarians, educational institutions, authors, scholars, artists, journalists, documentarians, researchers, and individuals. It's a lot of people that we have to serve. Hi, Marla. I didn't see you there. Marla is a great loyal volunteer in the Pacifica Radio Archives. You know, in the past couple reports, we've talked about this foundation not really having the resources to fund and support the Pacifica Radio Archives. We've pretty much given up on a facility to house the recordings, pretty much given up on a professional staff being hired, an archivist, a cataloger, to do the cataloging. We've given up. It's been 10 years or more. We've also given up on getting enough funding from the resources of this foundation. What we've been doing and what I've been telling you that I've been doing is creating collaborations and partnerships. We've been talking with George Washington University, which is a perfect match, the Gelman Library Special Collections, that would partner with us to take on the collection digitization and share back with Pacifica, who still would retain ownership of the recordings that it produces, as quickly as we could do, even if we had a couple million dollars in our pocket. So we're going to be continuing that conversation with George Washington University, not only on an application for the National Endowment for the Humanities grant, but also in forging this relationship that would rescue the Pacifica Radio Archives tapes. Early this month, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting released a request for proposals for the American Archive Pilot Program in response to the growing urgency to preserve and provide access to public broadcasting's audio and visual heritage at risk of deterioration. The Pacifica Radio Archives Director, that would be me, and the Pacifica Radio Archives Preservation and Access Coordinator, Addie Gevins, and I have been part of this project since its exploratory phase and actually gave a tour of the archives with the gentleman who was putting the report together for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The funding is $100,000 per station, community radio station, working with the Civil Rights Movement materials. The Pacifica Archives donated civil rights recordings to the project and will be part of the presentation for the U.S. Congress to approve the funding. The application is due May 1st, next week. If you haven't figured out that at least $100,000 pretty much is the Pacifica Radio Archives almost right because of the wealth of the Civil Rights Movement materials, I do plan on taking some time next week and completing that application. I'll let you know if we get it. All right, so the next thing really is about, again, partnerships and collaborations. And the story goes like this. A couple years ago, I've been thinking a lot about these recordings, Fannie Lou Hamer in particular. We have more audio in the Pacifica Archives of Fannie Lou Hamer than anywhere else in the world. The biographer didn't know about it because the database hadn't been available and online at the time when she was doing her research. Nobody knows this. It's time that the Pacifica Archives published Fannie Lou Hamer recordings. So a couple years ago, I decided that during a board meeting, Dwayne Bradley, the GM of Houston, and I went over to City Lights Publishers and asked to meet with the editor, Elaine Katzenberger, which we sort of sat down and talked and thought that it would be a good idea if we sort of figured out what we could do, particularly with the City Lights Publishers authors, the beat poets. We have Ginsberg, we have Ferlinghetti, we have Diane DePrima. But those had already been published. The poems had already been published. But we had the original audio, the first Ferlinghetti reading of Coney Island in the Mind. So the talk was, well, what could we do to publish the audio through City Lights and create a revenue stream for the archives to secure copyright so that we could publish Fannie Lou Hamer recordings and everything else as we go along with it? So the talks continued with Nicole Sawaya, Sherry Gundelman, Bonnie Simmons. The revolving door of management, thank you very much, has been part of these discussions for the past 2 years. And we kept trying to find the right thing to do. And we finally found it. So what we're talking about 12 years ago, a project was done called Defining Black Power. It was a premium package put together by the archives and is still one of the more successful premiums that we have. And with the election of President Obama, I felt that it was time to relook at that project, and that's what sold City Lights, redefining black power based on the model of Pacifica. So I've been working with Greg Ruggiero, who's the editor at City Lights in Brooklyn. Yes, that's true. He's the editor for a new books on Angela Davis, Mumia Abu-Jamal, Noam Chomsky. So his resume is quite extraordinary and is a perfect fit also for Pacifica. So working with Elaine Katzenberger and Greg Ruggiero, we have an author, Joanne Griffith, who's a woman of color from the BBC, who's been working, producing From the Vault series for the BBC for over a year and a half. So here's how it starts. We couldn't get a contract together to bring to you yet, but I still needed to make the project move forward. So we wanted to start with a radio project. Forget about the archives for a moment, because we can't not clear copyright. We don't have the money for it. So forget about it right at the moment. But let's take the essence of what the Pacifica Archives has to say about Black Power and defining Black Power through Pacifica's lens, right? That's a visual thing, but whatever. But if we take our five stations, and we're already doing this, by the way. We've already done two of them. It's a radio project right now. Redefining Black Power, the Pacifica Radio Project. At each station, a roundtable off air are going to be happening. Three participants, one moderator, all people of color, elder sages, young activists, artists, journalists, whatever we can find. These roundtables, five plus two. There's an LGBT African American roundtable that we did, and also Youth Radio here in the Bay Area is also going to be hosting the youth roundtable. So let's say seven to nine roundtables, four participants each. Have this discussion, open discussion, based on Joanne Griffith, the author's outline of what the discussion's about. So basically, we have a book contract in front of us from City Lights Publishers to publish Redefining Black Power, the Roundtable. We take those roundtables, Joanne Griffith mixes it into a two-hour national broadcast. It airs on the five Pacifica stations locally, because then we get listener live call-in. The public gets to respond to these roundtable discussions. That adds more opinion, more perspective, more dialogue. That's the mission, right? Dialogue, better understanding of people. So we have all of this fodder that Joanne now gets to work with. Then we take that grassroots, built-up dialogue. Then we get three women, three men, the Cornel Wests, the Bell Hooks, the people that are intelligentsia, Alice Walker. They take the quality of those roundtable discussions, and they deepen the conversation. So when our book comes out, which would be April of 2010, we will have the discussion of listener call-ins, roundtables, and our sages that tell us what did that mean, what is that discussion about. 2 days ago, I was at Cal State LA in the classroom civil rights history, 35 graduate students, and that's the From the Vault Civil Rights Pact that is required listening in their classroom. Young woman talked to me about that very thing. Well, Brian, what these recordings are from the 50s and 60s. What does it mean to me? I'm only 22 years old. That's not my era. Things are happening now. I want to be part of it. This project is for her. Her name is Daphne. This project is for Daphne. So what I'm going to ask you to do, even though I don't have a contract in front of me, because I have three items that I need to talk to Elaine about in making sure that this contract is a good one. Prior to this, I took the contract to John Krigler and had a person from PM Press who knows book publishing contracts, and a third party, an independent party, just a buddy of mine who actually writes books about the U.S. Constitution for education. And all three of them have said that this contract is extremely generous. Not only will City Lights bring us basically a good contract, but they're also going to help us fundraise. Angela Davis, when she releases her book, has already, I won't say committed, but is pretty much committed, accepted the invitation to do on her book tour a fundraiser for the Pacifica Radio Archives. So basically, what I've got is May 1st deadline. Next week, if we don't have the contract in front of you guys or a committee or the acting interim executive director to sign, we won't have a book. So I'm sorry I had to say, like, it's now or never, it's ultimatum time. But it really is. I've been working for 2 years on it. Y'all have been fighting. Y'all can still fight if you want to. But in terms of ultimatum, this is the body of my work. It's the body of work of the archives that we've been doing 10 years. And it's the best possibility for the archives to raise above the financial crisis that this institution has created. This is an ultimatum. If this doesn't go through, resignation is in my left hip pocket. So I'll send you an email of the description of the book. We'll go through the boilerplate contract, get that through, and by next week, I hope to send it to you, and we'll see what we can do. And other than that, I'm extremely proud of the staff of the archives that are overworked, underpaid, but are as dedicated as anybody I've ever known in the Pacifica organization. National Federation of Community Broadcasters Conference. After the conference, we went up to Olympia, Washington to Chaos Radio, Evergreen State College. They play the From the Vault Tuesdays at noon. Kids on the campus recognize me by the sound of my voice. That's why I'm here. But I'm not willing to stay if the organization does not support me and my staff. So, do we have a deal that you'll at least read the contract? Thanks. I'll take a question or two now. If there's time, I know I've been rambling
right.
a bit.
Ifia?
Okay. First of all, let me congratulate you on the work that you do and that you've just described. And at the same time, express an appreciation for the value and the significance of the record that audio material that Pacifica has and that you've managed and preserved, that value has to U.S. history and to the struggle, the documentation of the struggle for human rights in this country and of African people in particular. And having been on the project, the SNCC, or Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee project, which actually drafted the initial documents for the theoretical underpinnings for Black Power, which Kwame Ture and Jamil Alameen and Mukasa later popularized, and the struggle that those papers represented, most particular, the principle of self-determination, I'm concerned about the extent to which people who were actually involved, who are still alive, have been and are involved in that, and that while bell hooks and Angela and all those people have high name recognition and are money getters, we're not the people who define Black Power. We're not the people who made the call. And so how does Pacifica serve its interests and at the same time not violate the integrity of the history and the significance of that period in the history of Black people specifically and of this country generally? And to say that I'm prepared to assist you in making sure that that's not violated as you answer my question in that regard, because that is critical.
Sure. Actually, when I mentioned Cornel West and bell hooks, they're my sages. Like, they're the people that taught me through the archives, through the recordings of what it means. As a series editor, I have no part of the decision making of who is part of that book. You know, I'm just bringing the idea and the project to Joanne and Greg Ruggiero to edit. So really the decision is up to them. Nobody has been asked yet or invited to this book project because we don't have a contract. We're not going to ask Cornel West or anybody else yet until we have something on writing. In terms of what you would contribute to the discussion between Greg and Joanne, I'm sure they would be open to talking to you about what your ideas are, because really it is an open project right now. So if that's helpful, in other words, nobody's written in stone yet because we haven't invited anybody, open to good ideas.
Well, it's beyond me. It's beyond me as an individual, and much more to do with the integrity of the history. It's a big fight, frankly, that's going on the SNCC list at this very moment. The 50th anniversary of SNCC is next year. So we're in the process of planning for what that's going to look like and how that's going to be managed. So it's a very timely project, since it was SNCC that out of which the modern call for Black Power emerged. So it's how do we as African people protect and define our own history and how it's presented in perpetuity. So
I would invite you to write, we'll talk later, but I would definitely invite you to write a letter to Joanne Griffith so she understands exactly what your point is, because she's extremely open to that level of discussion and how she's to author and put this book together.
Okay, Lucette?
I'm so grateful that a fear, and you keep coming in my mind, stop it. There is a book, but the last book that Kwame Ture actually narrated on his while he was dying, Ready for the Revolution. And that book gives an idea of almost everybody who was involved in defining black power. And if you're going to refine it, and I want to endorse what FO is saying, you have to start from SNCC because they're the ones who actually defined it to start with. And so if we're going to redefine it, then we have to find those people. And Black Revolution, Ready for the Revolution is an excellent book that you could use as reference.
Right. So, and actually this is actually good because it's expanding the whole discussion. This is just the first book of three. The contract really is for one book with the option of two others. The first book is Politics and Activism and Democracy. The second book is Arts, Literature, Poetry, Dance, Music. The third book would be The Global Perspective. How does American black power sort of expand into the global picture, which I think does bring in Kwame Nkrumah and everybody else. Don't think I know everything, y'all. I'm not the author. So I think that opening the discussion is great. Contributing to the project is great. What I don't want to do and what I won't accept is that the governing board governs the book. And I'm not saying that you're all doing that. You're actually being open and really great about it, and I actually do want to put you together with the author. I'm not the author. But if we get to a point where we're governing the authorship of the book, I'm out.
Okay, next is Rico, and then Susan.
First, I want to thank Brian. I hope everybody understands the time and effort this guy does. With so little staff on something that is so very, very important. And not only that, you've constantly reminded us how important it is and educated us on how important it is. When I was a student in high school, I refused to study history because I always felt that the whole idea of the word itself, his story, he who writes it, it becomes his story, and it's not accuracy, which goes to Thea's point. I was going to make it, but she beat me to it. So I am concerned that it is done in a way that's accurate. But I really appreciate what you're doing and your passion. I see when you speak about this that you get choked up, and I know that that's coming from the right place. I also wanted to say thank you because after working on the board for years, and I thought when I first got on the LSB that there would be perks, and I never received any. And then last time we met with you, you gave us those CD packs. Dude, I'm telling you, I listened to those things so much that I had to stop. Malcolm X was making me a radical all over again. Mm-hmm. But they're a great pack, and I think that we should be selling those packs because it's stuffed with so much good stuff. But lastly, the other thing I wanted to suggest is that maybe they may want to look at a book called that was written by a group of black scholars in the 60s called The Death of White Sociology. And it spoke of a power in the hood of people who had these skills, whether it was entrepreneurialism or what, but they didn't have the right ground for them to flourish in, so they flourished in the hood. And these same people who were great entrepreneurs became pimps and pushers and racket numbers and whatnot. But if you had put them in a different environment, they would have become stockbrokers or whatever, you know. And that book was very instrumental in opening my eyes as a youth that yes, you can. Circumstances may be preventing you, but you have the ability, and if you persist, yes, you can.
Thank you, Rico. Next, Carol. Susan.
Yes. First of all, I'd like to say bravo. I think that the Pacifica Radio Archives staff, headed by Brian, does some of the most fascinating and exciting work that is being done today by Pacifica, and we're benefiting from it in all sorts of ways, including having premiums that make our fund drives more effective and reduce the cost of all of the premium part of the fund drives. And I think that collaborations are not only what we in some ways have to do because of the financial situation that we're in, but it's also the smartest way for us to do things. And to be working with City Lights Books on this, I think is just fantastic. At the same time, there is a role that this body has got to perform, which is to authorize a contract. And we have a responsibility to do adequate diligence. So I would encourage you, you're the chair of the Archives Task Force, and perhaps, the project gets reviewed in that, or you can make a presentation in that. And we have general counsel, very qualified guy, and I think that he would be able to take a look at it, make a recommendation possibly to the IED. But I would like to move approval of this framework for us to move forward on.
Second motion.
Okay. Is there any discussion about that? Is there any objection to Susan's motion? Yes. Go ahead.
Not the contract, the framework.
Right.
Okay. Hearing no objection, that's accepted by the body. Before Brian goes, I want you all to know that he and his staff do amazing work, and it pains me to go up there and to see how understaffed the archives are, and to see the fact that I know that those reel-to-reel tapes are deteriorating. And the massive responsibility that are on the shoulders mainly of this one man. And I hope that we'll take that into consideration in our strategic planning, because we really, really need to support the people and projects and the archives and our station staff. We must rectify our financial problems and get on a upward motion so that Brian can be supported, because the archives have been depleted of funding because of the shortfalls in other places. I want people to know that this is causing direct pain to the Pacifica archives as well as other units. But the archives have been particularly hit. So, I want to say I really appreciate it. I know that this board really honors your work and the archive itself.
Thanks.
One comment. Go ahead, George.
Brian, I was struck at the last in-person meeting by what you had done with this, sending out the to the schools,
right,
our
right,
programs, yes. And also with at KPFK, where they had partnered up with Food Not Bombs. That in both cases, what was happening is you're offering people the opportunity to be of service,
right,
as opposed to selling them a commodity. And it worked really well. And my suggestion is we try it some more.
Yes, I agree. In fact, we're going to WORT in Madison, Wisconsin. It will be the first affiliate station that will be using the campus campaign broadcast model for their fundraiser in May, I believe. KVNF in Paonia, Colorado, part of a 16-station Rocky Mountain Radio something. Anyway, those 16 stations will also be taken on the campus campaign fundraising model, which also will help. And then my last little point of information that I'd like to share with you is, Pacifica is historically significant in that it was responsible for the first broadcast with a discussion with a self-identified homosexual in 1958, and covered gay rights more than any other independent media ever did. In 1978, KPFK started annually a all-day gay day broadcast and went on every single year until 1995. That'd be 78 to 95, and then it stopped, probably because of the coup and what was going on. I've suggested, and it's been accepted, that it's going to happen again on June 14th at KPFK. Part of the reason was I needed to raise money. I needed a fundraiser. So we've been partnering with NYU School of the Arts, University of Texas Austin, UC Berkeley Moffitt Library to do the preservation, the analysis, the academic analysis of what do we have in that archive. WBAI, there's a whole shelf of uncataloged tapes that says gay rights 1986. The Velvet Sledgehammer, a lesbian program. Those programs haven't even been listened to or described. So we have two interns that have been approved to do their summer practicum at the archives for 6 weeks in June. So what I decided to do was bring money into it. So we have a fundraising event on June 12th that is 100% underwritten, that will raise money to preserve these recordings. And then also to June 14th, which is Gay Pride in Los Angeles. We're doing a 15-hour free-form radio broadcast as a time capsule broadcast. And the time capsule sort of came to me because in the archives, it is the time capsule. So what I keep thinking is, why don't we think ahead as the time capsule? Why don't we create the time capsule from the get-go? So that's what we're doing. StoryCorps, you may be familiar with, David Isay's project. We decided to do our own StoryCorps. So May 30th, KPFK will be hosting a family picnic where LGBT families will get access to our studios for 10 minutes each. They get to record the family story, a personal story, a gay marriage story, a discrimination story, a coming out story, whatever it is. Straight people get to go in because y'all have mothers and brothers and friends and high school friends, sisters. And basically what we're doing is creating what in 100 years, this is the goal, in 100 years, can we put together a 15-hour art piece that happens to be radio that tells exactly what it's like to be gay in L.A. in 2009. I'm going to do it. We've already gotten partnered with Christopher Street West, who's given us access to the parade, a booth at the festival for 2 days. The city of West Hollywood has given us access to venues where LGBT families actually show up so we can collect these stories. We have Making Contact here in Berkeley that's submitting stories. We have the Out Loud Radio, which is gay youth here in the Bay Area, which will be submitting stories of their discussions with elders for 11 weeks. Hi, Sherry. So anyway, Gay Day at KPFK, June 14th.
Okay. I have something. Mike Alcalay's sons brought me his entire... I am in the mic. Mike Alcalay's sons delivered to me the entire collection of the AIDS in Focus, which I did deliver to KPFA, his
Great.
Entire years of broadcasting that show.
You know, I'd like to say that we're really out of time for this
yep.
agenda item. And,
sorry, because I got to take my plane.
I hope that you won't mind, but we need to move on. Otherwise, we'll never get to the strategic planning that we so desperately need to do.
And I have to catch a plane to go back because UCLA Festival of Books is happening and the archives has a booth. So I have to go man the booth tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. All right. Well, while Jamie's setting up, let's take a 2-minute break, okay? You need 2 minutes?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.